Today, we kick off our Killer Comics triple feature with Stephen Norrington's cinematic showcase of sunburnt suckheads. The blood sprinklers are spraying, the daywalker is slaying, and we're trying to figure out why Blade has a blade but Whistler never whistles as we hop into a 1968 Dodge Charger to meet Deacon Frost and his raving legion of bloodthirsty vampires in Blade. You're listening to How I Met Your Monster, a podcast that explores the introductions to your favorite movie monsters. My name's Zach.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Casey.
And together we dive into the world of horror to find out how filmmakers have introduced us to our favorite monsters time and time again. This is How I Met Your Monster. Welcome to How I Met Your Monster, the show where we discuss the introductions to your favorite movie monsters. If you are not subscribed to our show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or even YouTube, go ahead and follow along so you never miss cool episodes like our brand new triple feature, Killer Comics.
Killer.
I didn't know you could watch comics. I thought you had to read them.
You can do whatever the fuck you want with comics. I mean, let's keep it PG-13.
Never mind.
Are you telling me I can fuck a comic?
Roll it up, put some lube in there.
Uh-huh. Oh, see, that's
thinking. You got yourself a pocket butthole.
Yeah.
I would say pocket pussy.
But... Dude, a fucking paper cut? Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, my God.
Zach, the pages aren't all ripped up. Come on.
God. Oh. Disgusting. You could take a comic, and an old comic that you don't use
this
anymore.
This is very disrespectful.
And you can... chop it up, but don't worry, we're not throwing it away.
Oh,
we're chopping it up, we're making paper mache, and then like it's like
that feels somehow safer now.
Yeah,
you can decoupage a dildo with it.
Yeah.
decoupage a dildo.
Decoupage.
Guys, today we're not talking about dicks or dildos, we're talking about blades.
I assure you we are.
We're gonna talk about dicks and dildos. You hold your horses there.
We're talking about Blade. This is our first movie in our Killer Comics triple feature, which was suggested to us by our listener Zane.
Thanks, Zane.
Thank you. He said, guys, do a triple feature on.
Yeah, he didn't ask. He said, do a triple feature. It was mostly based on threats. This is a threat-based triple feature.
But he suggested we do a movie based on horror movies that were, you know what I'm saying, based on comics.
Yes.
We know exactly what you're saying.
We know what you're saying.
And if you guys, listeners out there, if you have any suggestions for movies we should do or triple features, let us know, because the proof is in the pudding. We might just fucking do it.
It just can't be Killer Comics because we're doing it now.
Yeah. And it's Zane's idea. So back the fuck off.
Yeah. Fuck off. We're here to protect Zane.
But this is Blade. This is really fucking cool. I had not seen this movie. I saw it once, maybe twice, when it first came out in 98. And so I hadn't seen it in, you know, a long fucking time, and it was really fucking cool.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, it was. I was I remember having good memories of this, but my memories were locked in like 1998. So I was about 10 years old. And I probably thought a lot of things were cool. So it was a pleasant surprise to see that it holds up quite a bit. This is really fun. I was actually surprised. Right. Yeah. I was like, why don't I watch this more regularly as just like a fun horror romp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother and I watched this movie a lot growing up. So much so that we wanted glyph tattoos.
Oh, that's fun.
Matching glyph tattoos, brother sister
tattoos.
That's so cool. So we watched a lot growing up. But that being said, I still haven't seen it probably in almost 20 years, like since I graduated high school. So I didn't remember a lot of it, but same, very pleasantly surprised that it is still a really good movie. Just a lot of fun, you know? It doesn't stop. It gets started with the blood rave in the beginning, and then it just is.
Yeah, what a scene.
Go, go from there.
And the action is really good.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Well, it's funny. This came out a year before The Matrix, and I was getting heavy Matrix vibes.
Sure.
Like, they had, like, down to from the trench coats to they even have bullet time.
Yeah.
And then there's even a fight scene toward the end when they're in like the hallway, and it straight up looks so similar to the big shootout at the end of The Matrix with Neo and Trinity.
Yeah.
Like little details, like even just like the design of the hallway. I was like, oh, either is this
Blade
inspiration
actually
or
the Matrix one?
Is Blade the one?
They do call him the chosen one. He is the chosen
one. Well, think about it. If Neo is an anagram of one, and he is the one, Blade is an anagram of
Lady-a. Dale.
Oh. Dale. Is Dale the chosen one?
It'd have to be Dale, because there's so shit. You're missing the
lock
B.
The doors. It's Dale.
It's Dale.
Whistler's like, we should consider just unanagramming your name and go back to Blade. It's a little bit more intimidating.
No. Yeah, you could just choose to not put in certain letters if you don't want
to. You just not call yourself that. I'm excited about this episode for Dale.
It's Dale is such a good character, and like you didn't even know he existed.
Yeah. Went right over my head when I was a kid.
But okay, he's not Dale, he's Blade, and he's a Marvel character.
Yes.
This was, I think there is some, I've heard before that like this was like the first Marvel movie, but it's not. Mm-mm. It's considered the first successful Marvel movie. there was more that came before it, including a number of Incredible Hulk movies, a few Captain America movies, and even The Punisher and Howard the Duck were Marvel movies.
I'm surprised Howard the Duck wasn't the most successful one.
Right?
I loved Howard the Duck.
Yeah, that's funny. This is X-Men usually gets, the 2001 usually gets credit for sort of galvanizing the Marvel brand on the big screen. But yeah, Blade came in slicing and dicing 2 years ago.
I think
ago.
People don't think of this as a Marvel, like they forget that it's Marvel because it's vampires.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And
I wish I had more understanding of the comics so I could kind of form a stronger opinion or like of like what whether or not it is even similar to the comics. But I am coming in as more of a casual viewer.
He's a vampire who's trying not to be a vampire who fights vampires. That's the gist of the comics and the movie. So
actually in the comics, so he was created in 1973 in a comic called The Tomb of Dracula. And in the comics, he was not actually a daywalker. He was a human who was immune to being turned into a vampire.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, and like, this is just me doing research. I have never read the comics. But I guess he was a human who was immune to being turned into a vampire. And I read that he was bitten by Morbius.
Oh, okay.
See, that makes sense.
Which I don't know if he's immune to being a vampire, what happens when he was bitten by Morbius? I don't know all of that.
Yeah. Well, I would say that I like, for the movie's sake, that they made him a vampire.
Yeah. So much more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they even have like that great line where Frost says, you know, you have all of our strengths, none of our weaknesses, mm-hmm. which is such mm-hmm. a, and then Blade is sort of like, I don't see it that way. So you already like the complexity levels are just like increased quite significantly compared to like what they were working with from the comics.
Right. And Blade was originally brought to New Line Cinema by Ernest Dickerson. Ernest Dickerson directed Demon Knight.
Oh, that's so funny. So just for a little context, listeners, we have a little shared Google Doc where we write up our intros for the show. And underneath this, it's the intro for our one of our upcoming episodes, Demon Knight. I mentioned Ernest Dickerson.
And another movie that Ernest Dickerson directed was fucking Surviving the Game, which I used to watch a lot. Do you guys ever see that movie? With Ice-T?
It sounds so familiar. Oh, no.
Ice-T and Rutger Hauer and Gary Busey, Charles S. Dutton. They like go out to the fucking woods and hunt him, Ice-T.
No.
Pest, but... Serious?
Yeah, it's like a serious version of The Pest. Yeah.
Well, isn't The Pest a funny version of
Surviving the Game?
Yeah.
I think it's all they're all like cut from the same cloth, whatever that old movie was. Most Dangerous Game. Is that what it is?
Yeah, right. Why does that sound The Most Dangerous Game, you're right.
Dangerous Game. Yeah.
Short story by Richard Connell.
There was actually a serial killer in Alaska who did that.
Really?
That's horrible.
That's so fucked up.
He would set prostitutes out in the woods.
Dang.
God, people are sick.
Okay, so we talked about Ernest Dickerson. Now let's talk about who actually directed it was Stephen mm-hmm. Norrington. There's no Dick in his name, unless his middle name is Richard.
Oh.
Oh, dude, speaking of Richard and dicks, oh my God, it all ties together. Stephen Norrington.
What's happening?
He actually had previously worked on a movie called Hardware, which was directed by Richard Stanley of Island of Dr. Moreau fame.
Oh. Wow.
Richard Stanley, also known as Dick Stanley.
Dick Stanley.
Dick Stan.
So many dicks.
A dick stand. It's like
these would be great, like, for our decoupage, fleshlight.
Were you gonna say a dick stand is like a kickstand, but using a dick?
I wasn't, but now I'm
I think that's what Zach was gonna say.
Oh. I was thinking like bookends, but like
oh, I was picturing a guy just whipping his dick out and leaning on
it. But instead like of two bookends, it's two penises just coming at you to hold you in place.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. Written by David S. Goyer, who has written a lot of things.
Yeah. He's
including
pretty successful and prolific.
The Christopher Nolan Batman movies.
He knows a lot about bats.
Oh, my God. Bats and blades. Bats.
Speaking of which, there was a movie that came out in the 90s called Bats. And
oh, yeah.
The poster for it tried to be clever by making it go upside down. Because like right. bats hanging upside down, so it says right. stab, and I just assumed the movie is called Stab.
Oh,
and like as a kid, like
yeah,
pretty dumb on my part, but
yeah, pretty dumb kids. You know,
but strange dumb. Marketing when you think about it. I guess it made if it, hey,
it's cool.
It made me look. Got me. We're talking about it 30 years later.
Didn't that have Lou Diamond Phillip in it?
Mm-hmm.
Lou Diamond Phillips. Phillip. Mm-hmm. Phillips. And Wesley Snipes, who famously plays the character of Blade, was trying before he came onto this. He was trying to get Black Panther made in 1996.
Oh, yeah. Oh wow!
And so I mean, it was like what? When did Black Panther come out? 2018. So long time.
Do you think he was pissed?
You know, I don't know. I mean,
you think he was pissed when it came out with Chadwick Boseman, and he was probably in jail for tax fraud?
Oh yeah, maybe.
Well, it's interesting because they are, there's a lot of, there's some issues going on with the new, the reboot of the new Marvel Blade movie with Mahershala Ali and Mia Goth. Apparently, I had heard rumors that it's shelved. I don't know
really?
If that means it's shelved permanently, but I knew that they were running into a lot of issues with different versions of the scripts. And I know right now, they have a director. Apparently Mahershala Ali and the cast is still on board, but not sure. But funny enough, and I'm sorry if this is a spoiler, I haven't seen the movie, but it's okay. I feel like the second I mention what the spoiler is, are you guys fans of Marvel movies? It's a spoiler for a recent Marvel movie.
I am, sorry.
I am not.
Have you seen all the recent Marvel movies?
Not all of them.
Okay, can I spoil this thing?
No.
Can you cover your ears?
I don't even watch trailers for movies.
Oh.
Why do you need to spoil it?
But it's because it's so specific to this conversation.
Yeah,
it's
but so you might important. Be spoiling it for listeners too. Next, Zach.
Hope so.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
All right. If Zach knows what I'm talking about, then you, listener, probably also know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I don't care if you spoil it. I don't care for Marvel movies, but
okay.
But I know what you're talking about.
But I'll say this: there is a thing that happens that is related to the conversation.
I'm going to fly to San Francisco.
That has something to do with what we're saying.
Casey, do you need to do you need a refill on your bubbly drink?
No, you guys don't need to talk about it. Let's just talk about Blade.
I'm trying to.
I know what
it's
he wants to get out.
The most Blade-specific thing I've ever talked about.
All right, just say it.
No, I won't do that. I feel like we should be paid by Marvel and Disney right now because we are adding a lot of mystery and intrigue surrounding the current Marvel franchise. So
yeah,
you're welcome, Bob Iger. We aim to please.
All right, well then let's just move on. We won't talk about Blade anymore today. I guess LL Cool J was interested in this role early on.
Oh,
I don't think he was ever offered it, but I think there was like talk of him that like he was.
I can't imagine anyone but Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Because he's so good in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think LL Cool J. I don't think he would be serious enough, though.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just because I only think about Preacher and.
Well, I was going to say you'd have like a fucking bird on his fucking shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine like LL Cool J in the Deacon Frost role, like kind of hamming it up a little bit. I feel like that could be fun. Obviously, it would be a very different take on it. Yeah. Stephen Dorff has a very different energy.
I can't picture LL Cool J with 90s emo anime hair. So,
yeah, that's the one thing that they would carry over.
Picture that exact haircut on honestly, LL Cool J.
Like, there is like a level of camp involved with that. And I would, I feel like it would be iconic if it he is, came out in like this insane look and just committed to it.
His hair. Deacon Frost's hair in this movie is so funny. It is anime hair.
Why do I remember him being so cool as a kid?
Because it was cool in the 90s.
He's very like, quote unquote, he's very cool.
You know, but his hair is like anime. Like it looks like an anime wig.
It's literally, so his little legion is made up of an anime character, Kid Rock, and Baby Spice. Yes. And they come so close to annihilating the world.
90s, man.
And we should be ashamed of ourselves as humans for allowing 90s. That to almost happen. Yeah,
so 90s. So funny.
I guess in the comics, Deacon Frost was actually like he was a church deacon. Like, that's where the name comes from.
Oh, so literally. Like so his name could be anything.
I wish that would have been.
I think like in the movie, I don't think that's the case. I don't think he like was a deacon.
I wish that would have been integrated into the story, though. That would have been cool. Because I like it when they mix like religious stuff with kind of fucking wild. Right.
Well, it's like, sort of like we had just recorded our Toxic Avenger commentary the other night. And the villains in that movie are like horrific. But the second they mention, obviously it's played for laughs there, but the second they mention religion, there is like a sincerity to it. And it can get really serious. Mm-hmm. So that is, but it makes it really disturbing. So when you have someone like Deacon who is so committed to like wiping the world out, like killing the entire human race, but then also takes religion very seriously, it's like a profound thing for him. Something about that like juxtaposition always disturbs me in movies because it's like you can find the, like, you can center yourself with that. Why can't you center yourself with this? And I think that's what makes people really scary. Like a Hannibal Lecter. It's like, I can have a conversation with you. Why are you still thinking about eating me? Like that freaks me out.
Okay, well, are you guys ready to go to fucking Metropolis? I don't know. Where the fuck does this take place? Marvel.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Metropolis is DC. Never mind.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, so this, I guess Marvel just takes place in Arkham. Our world, right?
That's Arkham is fucking DC too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure like Avengers is set in New York City. Zane,
I know this is a killer comics triple feature, but I don't know much about comics.
Oh,
and
well,
so.
Okay.
No, I think it takes place in like a major city, LA.
Let's do Toronto.
It's LA.
Toronto? Okay.
It takes place in LA.
Oh, it does in LA?
I know that. Yeah.
Okay. So Los Angeles. Let's head to Los Angeles in our 1968 Dodge Charger and hunt some 90s boy bands.
Yeah. Just like a bunch of, this is when like rave culture was at its peak. And this movie was like, nah. Let's, we gotta take them all out. This is, we hate raves. By the way, I should point out, if you didn't grow up in the 90s, raves were so prominent that in an episode of Boy Meets World, when these two high schoolers want to throw what is, turns out to just be like a dance party, they keep calling it a rave, and it's like it sets you up. I remember watching this episode as a kid for the first time being like, where is this going? It's like my basic knowledge of what a rave was not what you get at the end of the episode, and I was genuinely like, oh, Corey Matthews is about to like get freaky.
Take some Molly and have glow sticks everywhere.
There's just fucking literally blood all over all of them.
It literally ends with the Monkees, the actual members of the Monkees coming to play My Girl in a burger joint. And that's the rave.
I think old people made that show.
What are the kids doing these days? Raving? I'll do it. Really.
My girl. Yeah. We need a raver.
Oh my God.
I feel like there's something like.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is Danny a beatboxer? I didn't even know what it's called for a second. A beatbox car? No.
You know, to make it complete, Danny, you need the the little headlight glasses that the fucking DJ in this movie was wearing to see everything.
I would wear those.
I was like, dude, what the fuck? Okay, let's go to a rave in Los Angeles. All right, so this was my choice for our Killer Comics triple feature, suggested by Zane. I think he suggested Blade, actually.
I think he did, yeah.
As one of our choices, and so we were like, "Fuck yeah, we're doing Blade." And so for Blade, we have, what did we come up with? 9 official monster reveals. And if you're new to the show, a monster reveal is any time that a monster in the movie is revealed to characters in the movie or to us as an audience is counted as a official reveal. And so I'm going to go ahead and read the synopsis for Blade via IMDb. A half vampire, half mortal man becomes a protector of the mortal race while slaying evil vampires.
Yeah,
that would imply that there are vampires. Oh,
I thought you were still
evil.
Reading the IMDb. I was like, wait, you had it, IMDb. Don't blow it with more.
No. Yeah, there probably are vampires that aren't evil.
Yeah.
Listen, I would love to be a vampire, but if I was a vampire, I wouldn't just kill innocent people.
Oh, you'd be like a Dexter vampire.
I mean, not necessarily. Oh, no. I probably would find people who are almost dead. Give me some of that.
But then you have to, I mean, I guess it depends on the rules and all different vampire lore is different, but like in the Anne Rice world of vampires, you have to be careful. Like it has to be super fresh.
So, oh yeah, if a person's not dead yet and they're about to die, it's fresh.
Like I wonder if you would like take in, like if someone was ill, could you get their illness?
No.
And then I guess would that affect a vampire?
Vampires don't die.
That's true. But they just, what if they inherited a cold from one of their victims? They just had a cold for the rest of their life. Like, God damn it. Kill me.
Well, there was so many questions that I had in this movie that I was like, well, if this happens, then why is it like that? Like, so.
Like when the guy kept getting his hands cut off.
Well, and then they like regenerate.
Yeah.
No, but they were questions that I had that eventually ended up getting answered like later in the movie. Mm. Like, you know, they're talking about pure bloods, like. Udo Kier's character was like, I was born a vampire. And I was like, okay, if you were born a vampire, why are you old now?
Yeah, I had that thought too.
And I was like, what the fuck? But then later, Whistler's like, they age slower than humans.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, so they still age just slower. So like,
yeah,
Udo's just really fucking old. Imagine being a fucking baby vampire for like 50 years.
Oh yeah, that's a movie. That's hilarious. That's like Baby Geniuses but with vampires.
Yeah, like your fucking brain builds,
that's
but you're still just
so
in a baby
funny.
Body.
It'd be like the baby from Roger Rabbit.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I was thinking of the Marlon Wayans as the where he's like, he,
oh yeah, what is
think
that
he's
movie?
A baby. I've never seen it. I just remember seeing the trailer for it, and he like acts like he's a baby. Maybe this is not the same roles, but that's what the first thing that came to mind was.
They think he's a baby.
The baby
and he
from
acts like a baby.
The baby from what did you reference?
It's Roger Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. So, anyways, and then there was another question, which so this is another question that I had that doesn't get answered in the movie, but it was answered in a deleted scene. So later when we get to Frost and he's talking about like, oh, the blood god's coming and he's going to turn anybody he sees into a vampire and the world's going to be vampires. I was thinking, dude, what the fuck are you going to eat then?
Mm-hmm.
If everybody's a fucking vampire, what are you going to eat? And I guess later in that scene that was cut, Karen poses that question like, oh, so what are you going to eat then? And they had this idea that was developed in pre-production of like blood bags. They would keep some humans alive in these like giant blood bags and harvest
just to keep feeding
their blood. Just
ooh,
to keep
I love
feeding.
That.
Is that what we saw in the beginning when they go to the rave? They show a bunch of like beef, like frozen beef, like you see in like a slaughterhouse.
Oh, okay.
And then they quickly roll by this what looks like, if you were to look at it, it looks like the same thing, but it's clearly humans in body bags, but it's transparent. So oh, I wonder sure. if they're sort of yeah. opening Probably. The
Yeah, because I think you. I think they did film some of it, but I didn't notice that in the beginning. But I think that's probably
the guy, probably the first true. Guy we meet. And I'm kind of, I'm sorry, I'm like jumping ahead, but he kind of does like a double take where they're kind of pulling him into the rave, and he's like, "What?" But oh, just as quickly, it's gone.
Okay.
Oh, they also and that needed would make blood sense. For the rave.
I yeah. was going to say that makes sense because they're probably pulling the blood to put it in the sprinklers,
mm-hmm. which is also a great
dude
observation because it shows Frost's recklessness and immaturity, because that's such like a waste of that. Like if you really yeah. are have this like sure. plan, that Udo Kier's character is sort of like, dude, we've been doing this for centuries, what are you doing? Like quit mm-hmm. yeah. with this like new age
yeah,
idea of like what a vampire should be. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like we see that right away, it's like he's like quite literally wasting it. And
yeah, there's a yeah. really cool like to this whole like, I love this storyline of being like, do we coexist with the humans? Do we do this? Do we stay in the shadows? Are we, should we take over? Whatever. If you guys haven't watched True Blood, I highly recommend True Blood. It's a really good show. There, it dips for a little bit and you're kind of like, eh, the show should be over, but then it gets really good again. And then it did get canceled. Anyways, there's like a whole like storyline about like kind of like this, where there's like a council and they're like, do we go the vampire way? Do we exist with humans? Do we do this? And then someone wants to take over. And it's really fucking cool.
I don't like True Blood.
Mm.
Okay. I never got into it, but I feel like I everybody. Might like it.
Well, I never watched it.
I do love Anna Paquin.
I hate Anna Paquin.
Oh.
And
oh,
I can't stand
such
her.
An incredible actor.
I think I don't agree. And also, they stole Christopher Maloney from Law and Order.
They did. Yeah.
For no
and
reason.
He's actually a key
I know
character in that storyline that I'm talking about.
I know. And then I know what happens. So it wasn't worth it, Christopher Maloney.
But they made sure to save Christopher Maloney.
See?
Yeah.
For Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh yeah.
Old seasons on Netflix.
It is good. I love mm-hmm. him so much. I love him yeah. so much.
I don't know if I would go so far as to say he's an underrated actor, but he is one of those actors who
kind of
I wish was more. Yeah, I guess he is a little.
Yeah.
His performance, okay, and we can move on, but his performance in Wet Hot American Summer and the following two series are some of the funniest things you will ever yeah. see on screen ever.
It's yeah.
great. Like, talk about someone like understanding the bit mm-hmm. and committing to it, even when the bit itself doesn't really make sense, but he like makes it make sense, because I'm like, oh, I get the tone, I get everything about this movie because of this.
So stupid. Yeah,
he like believes it so much that we're like, yeah. okay, yes. I get it.
I'm gonna go hump a fridge. What'd you say? I said I'm gonna go hump a fridge.
I'm gonna go fondle my sweaters.
Did you just say you're gonna go fondle some sweaters? No, I said, what does he say? Yeah,
I'm fucking he up said, them. I'm pretty sure you said you're going to go fondle some sweaters. He's like, shut up. Oh, God. Okay. Anyways, there are 9 official reveals in Blade, starting with, well, we're going to start with an honorable mention. It's not really official.
Important.
It's not really an official reveal because we don't know what he is, but we do see Blade being born. And we know that the mom has been bit by a vampire. And so we kind of assume, but
yeah,
our first official reveal is the Blood Rave, which is just a really fucking cool way to open a movie.
It is so good.
Kind of gives itself away when you find out that it's called, they do a cutaway later. It's called Club Bloodbath.
Yeah. It's like behind the DJ with the headlight.
Yeah.
Glasses. If you don't know that vampires are real.
That's true.
Yeah.
I went to a blood rave. Did I expect anything? Did I think
you went? Oh, we're just burying the lead here.
You don't remember?
She went to a blood rave, and guess what she did? Tell them what you did, Casey.
Did you eat?
What did I do?
You made fangs.
Oh yeah, I made fangs. You didn't know that?
Oh, I do know this, but for some reason my memory is not remembering the blood. Was there blood spraying?
No, it was just they had red lights and there were big signs that said blood rave.
It was just the fucking monkeys in a fucking. Singing My Girl.
Yeah, but everyone was dressed.
Damn, my perception and understanding of raves is so incorrect.
Everyone was wearing big black boots and leather, but then the monkey showed up.
But otherwise, there also was Mr. Feeny.
Blood's coming out of the sprinklers while they're fucking just jamming on guitars, playing fucking My Girl. But like, not only is this like just a badass scene, like everyone's in blood and it's just kind of cool with the music and everything, but this is also not a monster introduction because he's our hero, but this is also, we get a really badass introduction to Blade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right at the beginning.
And just the sliverest of glimpses of Deacon Frost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like,
He just like walks by and you don't really know who he is, but
we're like, what's Stephen Dorff doing here?
Was a little disappointed, but I can't really say that I was disappointed because I love this movie and I love this scene. But when I was young, I had a huge crush on Tracy Lords. And the fact that she was only in this movie for about 30 seconds made me really fucking sad because I forgot. And I saw her and I was like, oh my God, it's Tracy Lords. And then she died.
Well, she's even like in the fucking, like, she has
she's credited.
Credit. She has
because
a credit.
Because I looked, like, because I was like, wait, oh, they said Tracy Lords. She died. And then a few minutes later, they talk about how they regenerated. So, oh, she's coming back. So I waited for the whole movie for her to come back to life. And she didn't.
You never did.
I think that's stunt casting. I think it worked.
I had a huge crush on her in Crybaby. Yeah.
I remember Zach and Miri Make a Porno, where she can like fucking blow bubbles with her vagina.
I haven't seen that movie in forever.
They call her Bubbles.
That's hilarious.
God.
After my first gay experience in college, I was so
you were blowing bubbles with your vagina
that I did that. Well, I needed to have like I was in denial, and I was
I
need to do something straight. I was like, I need to do something straight. So I went to go see Zach and Miri Make a Porno by myself. And I was like, oh, thank God. I was like, you look at all the straight sex. I'm cured. I literally was in school with Zach at the time. I left class halfway through because I was so overwhelmed. And I went to just go see a movie.
Look, I love boobs.
Bubbles. I said you were blowing bubbles with your vagina. And then you were like, yeah, I was so anxious about it. And Zach was like, wait, what?
Well, mostly because I couldn't find my vagina and I was like, how am I gonna blow bubbles?
You're like, if you're straight and you just had sex with a man, you must have a vagina.
Exactly.
You come out of Zach and Miri Make a Porno, like you're walking out of the theater and you're like, you know, you like walk out with the people who you saw the movie with and you're like, boobs, huh?
Giving everybody, how about them boobs, bro?
Giving everybody straight high sex, fives. Let's go. Okay, so during our blood rave, Blade attacks one of the main vampires named Quinn. And sets him on fucking fire, which is cool. But Quinn gets taken to the morgue and they do like this little thing where it's like, hey, this guy's dead, but let's look at his blood for some reason to see what's in it. And they're like, wait, this blood's still alive. Why is that dude dead? You're playing a trick on me.
That's interesting that they decided to do a blood test.
This one gave me big.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it is part of the autopsy.
To like see like what kind of drugs or something were in his blood.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a toxicology report, but that wouldn't require looking at it under a microscope.
Yeah. But I mean, what else are you going to do at 3 a.m. in a fucking hospital?
Yeah.
Do you know, by the way, I wanted to say this, but you made the transition so quickly. After he left, after killing all the vampires at the club bloodbath, Blade was probably really dirty, so he went home and had a blade bath. So he's burnt to a crisp. And why are they doing a blood test?
No, blade bath is great. I love it. I keep thinking of like a bath, like tub full of blades, but
he's like, why did I set myself up?
Which would then turn into a blood bath, and it's like an ongoing cycle. But so they're doing like this blood test on Quinn, and the one doctor, Curtis, is like, hey, come down to the morgue with me and see this body for yourself because you think the blood's alive. And then Quinn fucking gets up, and this is our second official monster reveal. When Quinn fucking jumps up, he's all crispy. He bites Curtis. Oh, and then he bites fucking Karen, too.
He chases Karen, and this is arguably, in my opinion, the scariest sequence in the movie. This is where you get like the movie gets its horror flowers, kind of. Because it leans into the action. This scene, like, honestly, and maybe it's like some holdover feelings from it and from when I watched it as a kid. So I'm just remembering it as being really scary, but like kind of like freaked me out a little bit. Yeah. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And Donald Logue, who plays Quinn, is like committed. He really sells this part and he's having so much fun in this movie.
Yeah. He's a good actor. Like,
yeah, he is.
I waited on him once in when I served tables in Brooklyn and he was shooting the show Gotham and he came in and he was a true gentleman.
Really? What did he order?
I gave him a little fried chicken.
Oh, really? Yeah. No shit.
Oh.
I swear, actually, really didn't think of that like as a joke. I'm not exaggerating. Our place had really good fried chicken.
Oh.
That's so funny. I wonder if he was doing that as like a little like, like when he ordered it, he like,
I'm sure that's
why. Like, remember that?
I'm sure that's, yeah.
That's all he orders everywhere is fried chicken. So like, hopefully some random fucking server will get the joke and be like.
And I'm like, Quinn?
And you missed it.
He's like, son of a bitch.
20 years later, he's like, oh, I see what he was doing.
Yeah, I'm just like in the grocery store one day, just pushing the cart, and I just stop and go, oh, and then just keep walking.
But no, this was a cool scene. And then Blade shows up like, dude, Blade, you're always like a fucking second too late.
Yeah.
Not always, but in this situation. And this is what confused me because he sees Karen on the ground, like dying or being bitten, right? And then like he has like a flash of like his mom, but he was a fucking baby. So,
yeah,
like,
he would have.
I think he had seen the movie. He saw the dailies.
He's
before
yeah.
they got to this. Yeah.
Which again, another question that I had that gets answered later. Like he has her ID.
Oh yeah.
So like he knows what she looks like, but.
Right.
It's just like the flashback that they show is like for us.
Right. And it's not like, him picturing
it's
it.
It's not him. Yeah.
He's just like, like, wow, this is funny. A strong black woman like my mom.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I do love it's like these little moments that give because Blade is a very, very Batman-y, you know, when he's very quiet, very cool. But you do see this moment of humanity here where it's like, fuck, if I had been there, I could have helped my mom. And here I have this opportunity. And
right.
Yeah,
right.
It's what makes him an interesting character.
Yeah. And apparently that was some of Wesley Snipes' doing is that he wanted to put this extra layer of like humanity and emotional stuff into the character.
Crazy if they didn't do that. Yeah.
Right. And then Blade like fucking takes Karen and gets shot by the cops and he yeets her out the fucking window. She dislocates her shoulder, right? And Blade pops it back in. This is what I'm going to tell you, that Blade is a little fucking bitch because he dislocates his shoulder later and he's like, don't touch me. It hurts. Don't get away from me. And I was like, you know what?
You just popped her.
Talking about being
back.
A strong black woman. She was
she's
a lot fucking stronger than you.
He also gets shot a lot. And kills vampires.
Yeah, well.
And stuff. So, like, I mean.
Speaking of being shot, kind of... those cops, I'm sorry. I know it's.
Oh, horrible.
But.
Aim.
Yeah. They, like, know that he has a.
Right.
As far as they see, like, a hostage. Yeah, a civilian.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
Him.
And they and just they... unload.
Oh, no, yeah, but you
like,
guys don't.
Never
guys,
before.
No, but the cops are with. Like, it doesn't matter. The cops are dirty
that's
cops.
Right. They're
that's
dirty.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they're
but
going
I thought
after
the same
Blade.
Thing too. I'm like, damn, like
wait,
they have no.
I don't understand
regard.
Though. I can wrap my head around vampires. They are corrupt cops.
What? Yeah, it's a little
I don't
strange.
Get it.
It's like I like this is like a fictional world. Yeah,
yeah. I don't get it. I'm done with this movie.
That's where I draw the line at.
Yeah,
fictional
I draw
cops.
The line there. Corrupt cops, unbelievable.
But not fictional cops. Corrupt cops.
Cops doing deals with vampires. I get it, but they're doing it because they're corrupt. No, thank you.
No. Okay, our third official reveal is like the Council of Vampires. That kind of like you know we come to find out they're like they've got their hands in all these things throughout. Well, you know, speaking of cops and they even say like real estate and all this stuff. So they're like making bank in this fictional city.
Correct.
Oh, no, it's not a fictional city. It's Los Angeles. But we meet the council and we meet Frost for the first time. who we find out is not a pureblood. He was bitten and turned into a vampire. So he's.
But he acts fucking, like he's got his, you know, sitting on a golden throne.
Mm-hmm. I love that they like call him in just to be like, you suck, Frost.
I know.
Like, we Dragon don't like Eddie's either. Like, played by Udo Kier is like, bring in Frost, and they bring him in. And then
the thing with Udo Kier in this movie is there was like a moment where he was explaining to Frost, but also the audience, that he was born a vampire. And for a second, I like believed him, because if ever there was one person on this planet who was probably born as a straight up legitimate vampire, it would be Udo Kier.
Yeah, agreed.
And I would accept it. I would I'm like, you know what?
Like, oh, yeah, that checks out.
Makes sense. I'm not going to question it. It feels rude.
Corrupt cops don't believe it. Udo Kier is actually a vampire. Legit.
Absolutely. But yeah, Frost wants to rule the humans. They want to blend in. He wants to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and they're like, dude, we're purebloods. You're nothing but a fucking vampire that got turned into a vampire. You're a mudblood. Wait, no.
Oh, mudblood. Yeah,
dude. Harry Potter.
Yeah, Harry Potter. Yeah.
There are vampires in Harry Potter, but I don't think see them.
Does Blade take place in the world of Harry Potter?
Oh my god! What if Blade was one of the professors? You know, they always bring in a new defense against the Dark Arts teacher. Yeah.
Oh, he could.
This
be.
Is your professor, Professor Dale.
Professor
Dale.
Professor Dale Blade.
Dale Blade. He could be a professor against the Dark Arts, though.
I think his name is Eric.
Yes, it is.
Eric Dale Blade.
Eric Dale Blade, more like Dull Blade.
Dull Blade.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Sharpen that thing, silly.
Silly.
Dude, how does he sit in the car with it? He gets into the car with the fucking sword on his back.
He has special little holes in the bottom of his seat.
But like, that's like fucking bends under his butt.
Yeah.
But that's like classic brooding superhero. It's like Batman would never complain that like everything hurts because his suit is so heavy. Blade's like, Karen's like, is that bothering you? He's like, I'm okay.
Over his dislocated shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm a bitch, but
a bitch. Which Deacon calls him a bitch later, and I was like, yeah, that's right, Deacon. He is a bitch.
Conspiracy theory of the week. Is Blade a bitch?
No.
No. Okay, so now we're back with Blade. We get to his like, I thought it was like his like hideout.
Everyone's got a lair in this movie.
It's like a temporary lair, because we find out that him and Whistler, who we meet, who does not whistle, they move from like city to city. And so this is just like a place they found, I guess.
Yeah.
They're nomads.
They're nomads.
It is their lair still.
Yeah.
It's like the RV of lairs. You can take it anywhere. The cross-country lair.
It is. I mean, it's like a cool lair. It's like a factory, you know? Mm-hmm.
Wait, is it a cool lair or is it a factory, Zach? It can't be both. Factory doesn't sound very fun.
Come to our factory. We make garlic shots.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. They just have liquid garlic just like around. He's like, I'm going to stab you with this.
You can never have too much garlic.
He's like, it's going to fucking hurt. Fucking garlic right into her bloodstream. Well,
of course they have garlic around. They fight vampires. How does that not make sense?
Yeah. It's just amusing. Oh, I wish because it's garlic. I wish Whistler was like a stereotypical like Italian chef or something. We always got the garlic. I can do an Italian accent. Why can't I do it in this moment?
Danny, aren't you Italian?
Yeah. But Kris Kristofferson as an Italian chef in this movie. LL Cool J as Frost. There's a movie that. Oh, and then Baby Udo Kier as the head of the vampires. I don't support AI, but maybe that's the only way we can make this happen.
Dude, are we like creating a new Blade spinoff comic book?
The multiverse has been established in Marvel, so not like, you know, the ground has been set.
And we get a little Bad Moon Rising as they're driving into the fucking shop.
Makes you kind of think that they're going to reveal Whistler as a werewolf, though, because it's like a little American werewolf reference. Yep. But and maybe that's a comic thing, but
I don't know. But I like Whistler. He's a cool character. It's a sad moment when he dies later. Spoiler alert.
And what's interesting, I was just looking him up to see if he was in fact a werewolf, which he isn't, but his name, his first name is Abraham. And it's very like Abraham. He's like the Van Helsing of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's kind of, it has to be intentional, but I can't confirm. I mean,
Abraham Lincoln, vampire hunter.
Oh, so he's not named after Van Helsing. He's named after he's the president of the United States.
Yeah. So, okay. Here's another thing, you know, since we're talking about Abraham Lincoln, vampire hunter, because why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
The fucking sunscreen deal needs to go.
Yeah.
Agreed. I do not care for this. Like, oh, vampires can walk in the daylight now if they just put on fucking sunblock.
Yeah.
Like, no, come on.
Dr. Moreau. Yes. Lather that shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Otherwise,
no. And that's the thing. If you are going to do it, they should look like Marlon Brando does in The Island of Dr. Moreau, where he is, they are caked in it. Like, yeah, you're just, it should be dripping off of them.
Ew.
Yeah, you guys don't need blood raves. You need to fucking go get sunblock raves, where they're just like sunscreen shooting out of the fucking sprinklers.
They're like, oh, God.
Just looks like cum over all of them.
Ew.
It's sunscreen and blood, and it is just the worst visual.
Ew, that's fucking nasty.
Thick cream and just bloody loads everywhere.
Delicious. Oh my God. That makes me fucking sick. Dude, there's a scene.
How do you think vampires feel in the sun? they feel terrible.
There's a scene in the fucking movie Dodgeball where they're trying to figure out how to make money. And they said, and the one guy says, we could sell blood and semen. And the one guy, and I don't know if it's like Vince Vaughn, goes like, ew. And the guy goes, what? Not mixed together. And that makes my fucking stomach churn.
Yeah, it's awful.
Oh my.
Why?
God.
Because it looks like strawberry yogurt. It's just not a good.
Yeah, but it's just. Like...
Dude, I can't imagine like fucking.
Yeah.
You come and like fucking blood comes out.
No, but that's not.
Dude. Dude.
I had read a fact here that apparently,
I think they're doing it separately. They're talking.
I know, but it's.
But I had read that there's an anomaly, and it's not even an anomaly because apparently it's not as rare as it seems, where blood will show up in semen, and yes, that there's, it's apparently like, not that it's nothing to worry about, but it's not as scary as it seems. And when I found out that this was like a thing that might happen to most,
you're like,
men,
I masturbated for days on end to see if I had any.
Yeah. Oh no, I don't want to see it. I'm like, I stopped
doing that.
Makes
me want to never
that.
Come again.
Yeah. I'm like, I
come again? No thanks. Good
so this
Lord.
Is just a PSA for all the men out there, based on a thing that I think I remember reading at some point, based on facts I'm not sure are true. If you have blood in your semen, you might be okay.
Vampires can suck dick and still get sustained.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes.
Possibly.
Maybe.
More commonly than you would think, but not as often as you would, you know, well, not want.
Yeah.
Like we talk about, you know, there's probably some vampires that aren't evil. And yeah, so instead of drinking blood, they just suck a bunch
they're
of
just
dick
and
hopefully.
Everybody's dick, so
oh,
I can't come anymore. No, I bet there's blood.
They're drinking the blood to extract like certain like proteins, I'm sure, to
right,
survive.
Which
on.
Is why.
So I'm sure there's something within semen that could also kind of
right,
give them what they need.
Which is why at work when we had the conversation, we decided that breast milk, that they would live off of breast milk if they couldn't have blood anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sucking titties instead of necks. Yeah.
So TNA isn't just a. It's a survival mechanism for some vampires. It's not just a disclaimer in front of a movie.
It's a survival mechanism for babies, Danny.
Oh, yeah, literally.
Danny didn't know that babies needed milk to survive.
I thought it was blood.
Dude, Blade, that's why he has Whistler with him, because he's fucking sucking his dick.
Oh, and that's where the whistle comes from. He's like, woo! Every time he comes, he whistles.
He says, good Lord. What the fuck?
On to reveal number three.
We say we're a horror comedy podcast. I think we're just like offensive and immature, honestly, most of the time.
Yeah.
This is where we get to let it out, guys. You know, like, we're just humans.
Okay. Well, our fourth reveal. Let's move on to our fourth reveal. This is like a twofer because we get Pearl, which is this like ginormous Jabba the Hutt vampire.
Yeah, they refer to them as like a record keeper or an archivist. The
record keeper,
and they oversee the archives that Blade and Karen infiltrate.
Yeah, yeah. So not only do we meet Pearl during the scene, which is like I was not expecting there to be like a creature, I guess. You know what I mean? Because it's like I thought they were all just going to be like human looking vampires, and like this is human, but it's like would not be survivable, I guess, if you're not a vampire. So anyways, I was not expecting to see Pearl looking like that. And then this is also where Blade meets Frost for the first time on the computer screen.
Over Zoom.
Yeah. What a cool way to fucking meet your arch nemesis.
Can you hear me? We're just waiting for everyone to get in. How was everyone's weekend?
But apparently Blade has known about Deacon Frost for a long time. And we find out that Frost has also known about Blade for a long time. And somehow knows all his like secrets, whatever. I don't know how that happened, but this is their first. This is their first meeting.
That's a great point. We don't really get much context.
Yeah,
I guess it's implying that Frost is just very aware, even when people don't. He kind of presents himself as being the immature rebel vampire who just wants to shake things up, but he actually is pretty well versed in sort of how to actually take over, because we even see like a little a little moment with him. We don't really know what he's doing earlier, but after he talks to Udo Kier's character Dragon Eddie, we see him on the computer and we're like, oh, what is he just like surfing the net and being silly? And no, he's actually like researching glyphs, so it's setting up his world domination tour.
Dragon Eddie's like, no one can translate those texts, like it's a dead language, and Frost just fucking ignores him. But like when they fry Pearl with the fucking UV light, that was kind of cool.
Felt bad for Pearl.
A little bit. Yeah.
So painful.
Yeah. Just like even can't move, Blade can't get like, away.
Blade like gives Karen a look and Karen's
I
like,
know. She moves. She's a savage.
Yeah.
But we do find out too, we kind of learn about we were talking about the glyphs. We learn about like there's a prophecy and there's a ritual and Frost wants to resurrect the blood god.
Lamagra. Yeah,
I love that its name is Pearl too, just because you know, pretty shiny,
round.
Oh yeah,
is one thing.
Oh, did anybody else notice the fucking? I know Danny noticed the speed ramping of that, like when he when Blade was like tailing the police officer, and they were like driving through the city, and there was like a lot of speed ramping.
I did notice actually. Also the background in the car, the green screen.
Yeah.
Oh, but I didn't even notice that.
Oh, but like I thought it was like
you didn't
intentional
because of comic
you know what I mean
stuff.
Well, just like stylistic. Like I don't think to me when I watched it, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool because they weren't like trying to make it look 100% real. It was almost like this is a visual gag kind of thing. I thought that was kind of neat, but. But yeah, that was in that same scene with the speed ramping. You know, Wesley Snipes he plays this role so well, but it really made me want to watch fucking Demolition Man.
Oh, like, same. That's my favorite. Simon Phoenix is one of my favorite characters. Oh, if Blade had the bleached hair. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that movie.
I mean, LL Cool J with the bleached hair could have been.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Etch.
Damn.
Etch.
Okay, well, let's go to our fifth reveal. They have fried Pearl, Blade has met Frost, and now they are entering the room with all the ancient texts. Like it's like their vampire Bible, and like all these ancient scrolls have been like preserved. But it's like an ambush, right? Because
so impractical.
They see like the little fucking little girl vampire that Blade's like wants to help, but then she like kicks the shit out of him. he ends up like punching
because
her.
She's probably 100 years old.
Right. Oh, yeah, because she ages slower.
Oh,
she was setting up the prequel movie we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Vampire. Mm-hmm.
Empire Babies. But yeah, she like kicks the shit out of Blade, and he's like, whoa, he was like not expecting that shit. But then Quinn comes with like a bunch of thugs, and they like fucking
Kid Rock and his groupies.
Yeah.
It's fucking Kid Rock and like a bunch of
I can't believe they didn't play that song during this fight.
Oh yeah. Dude,
what a stupid
know,
song.
What a
speaking
stupid
of
fucking song.
Like songs in movies. There's a scene like at the end when he like is taking out a bunch of vampires and he like catches his sunglasses and the fucking music starts and he puts his glasses on and then he fucking like I love shit like that.
Me too.
And it doesn't happen much anymore. Like it happened
a
lot in the
90s. Record drop moment. Yeah.
Yes. And it's like, oh shit, here we go. Like shit's going down because the music started, you know, and it's just fucking cool. But in this one, this is our fifth reveal because this is where Whistler meets Quinn and a bunch of vampires because he busts through the door with his car, I guess. I'm not sure how he exploded through the fucking wall, but
he whistled.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
His car was like, and it just explodes.
He's like the fucking big bad wolf. He whistles and.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
Oh, and that's why they played the Bad Moon Rising song.
So he is a werewolf.
So he howled. So really, it'd be a howler.
But wait, didn't we establish that someone needs to be sucking him off for him to whistle like that?
Yeah. So you just didn't see. They have another. There's another.
They have like a fluffer.
Yes, exactly. Like, there's Blade, like, Whistler, and Fluffer.
Yeah, it's fucking Ryan Reynolds. That's Blade Trinity right there.
Who's in Blade Trinity? Yeah.
That's and why also, I said it.
Yeah. Okay.
Not like, just wow, because I thought Ryan Reynolds would be sucking Christopherson's dick.
Conspiracy theory of the week. Is Ryan Reynolds a fluffer?
Classic country fans are hating us right now.
Yeah.
Do you think we get a lot of classic country fans listening to this show?
Why do they hate us?
Chris Christopherson was a country singer.
Oh, he
that's
was.
Like, that was like his that's what made him famous was he's a country singer.
I didn't
with
know
like
that.
Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash and Chris Christopherson. And then he became an actor.
I didn't know that.
But you know, we're talking about fucking vampires sucking them off, so I figured classic country fans wouldn't be too happy. But.
Hey, nothing wrong with the sexual
feeling.
Experimentation.
Oh, yeah. Feeling. Oh, no, I'm all for it. But, you know, the stereotype.
He wasn't. Yeah. Yeah, the stereotype of Chris Christopherson getting sucked off so that he can drive or whistle his way through a wall and explode it to kill vampires. We're done with the stereotypes on this show. I'm over it. We're better than that.
Yeah. But then there comes like a cool subway scene, right? Not subway sandwiches, subway like speed.
Oh, I do love the subway scene though, just in general, like just hanging out at a subway.
Mm-hmm.
Eat some.
Oh, like the scene. Like the
yeah.
You a member of the subway scene?
The delicious meat.
Oh, I love a nice footlonger.
Yeah, they have like footlong brownies. They have footlong brownies now.
What the fuck? Remember when Subway used to be like quote unquote healthy?
Yeah.
Well,
now they have like,
they were like, no.
They've got like Cinnabon and fucking.
Do you know who endorsed? You know who endorsed the healthy thing?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Oh.
So I wouldn't really believe anything he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But oof. Yes.
Yeah.
They don't want that, to be associated with healthy anymore.
God, the Subway scene
think,
sucks.
People fuck think healthy. Of that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pivot 180, like let's be unhealthy.
Yeah, they're yeah. Like, we want to make this guy fat as fuck again.
Oh god. All right, well, speaking of Whistler, let's jump to our sixth reveal. This is where Whistler meets Frost, and Frost and Quinn and everybody kind of fuck him up, right?
And it's what's interesting about this and kind of like makes it land with more of a punch, I think, is the fact that it's following up the scene where Frost kills Dragonetti. So Frost is kind of like wiping right. out the kind of older, like representatives of like an older generation.
Sure.
So you have like Whistler on the side of good, Dragonetti on the side of bad. And then Frost is sort of like, I was gonna say planting his seed, but I'm trying to get away from these references. you know what I mean.
He's cleaning house.
Cleaning
house. Oh, speaking of planting seeds, I have a question about the... There's a scene later, like, they keep showing, like, these flowers, right? These red flowers. And then, like, at the end, when Blade's about to, like, go off and kill a bunch of people, he takes the flowers and he cuts off the roots.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. Like, that, what that was all about.
Huh. I'm Googling Blade red flowers.
Because it's after Whistler dies and he's making bullets and shit.
Okay. They're a hybrid with the roots of Dracaena and flowers from Leucospermum. The plant is a visual representation of Blood's mixed heritage as a human vampire hybrid.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it says it's an ersatz hybrid plant, a juxtaposition of two species from disparate lineages, leaves and roots of a and then what?
So then he cuts off the roots and he's like, fuck this.
Well, Frost was just cutting off the roots of vampire lore. Maybe Blade is just meeting him, cutting the roots off literally.
Blade just doesn't want to be a vampire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That makes more sense.
But we're going to find out that pretty soon he just goes all in because he's
like, I'll be a vampire.
He's a fuck it. But yeah, he has no choice in a little bit.
Oh, we do find out in this scene, which we call it, Frost kind of explains, he builds on the whole idea of summoning Lamagra, and he says that he's trying to trigger a vampire apocalypse, but he needs Blade's blood.
Mm-hmm.
So now we see why he wants this truce, why he wants to work with Blade. It's because he wants to drain him.
So Blade can't be the only one that's like this, right?
I wouldn't say no. He probably isn't, but they're probably not putting themselves out there like he is.
Well, okay, true. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Did he get his abilities because of the fact that he just so happened to be, his mom was in labor with him while she was bit, and it was just like a perfect storm of
timing?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that would make sense that maybe he is more rare than I'm thinking because everything happened at the right moment. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even if they were bitten when she was just pregnant and she ended up surviving and turning into a vampire, it may have been the same thing.
So if that was the case, and Frost seems to know so much about Blade, you would think he would have put it together like, oh, that's probably why Blade has these abilities. Why don't they just find a pregnant woman?
Why don't we just meet Hitler and
farm these like super blooded Daywalkers?
Yeah. But you know what I just realized?
What'd you just realize, Zach?
Blade's mom is with Deacon Frost.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just realized.
And so
that's
how he knows all this stuff about Blade.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's his fucking mom.
I was like, you just put that together, Zach?
No, but he's like, I know everything about you. And it's like, oh, yeah, because it's his mom. Like, she probably kept tabs on him. You know what I mean? And then.
Oh, that's a good call. I didn't even put that together.
Yeah,
makes so much sense.
It just dawned on me, as they say in the vampire world.
Oh, dangerous for vampires, though.
Yeah, it is. That's why vampires are so fucking dumb.
Idiots. Put on some sunscreen, you sillies.
Yeah. Okay. In our seventh reveal, Karen meets Curtis again, but this time he is a fucking like gross old vampire zombie thing in like this pit, right?
Speaking of which, right before they introduce him, they're having this really random conversation about a surfer.
Yeah.
And they specifically say Quinn talks about a surfer who was more zombie than vampire, which then made me wonder if they were referencing the movie Surf Ninjas 2, in which there are zombie surfers.
Oh, dang.
That's all I have to say about that.
Okay. See, I thought they were talking about Curtis because then they, I don't know if he's a surfer, but whatever, but they put him in the
fucking
pit.
He does live in LA.
And then he's kind of like a zombie-esque vampire.
Oh, he does. Oh, he does come riding in on the surfboard. Okay, never mind.
Like down in the pit, he's got like a board like up against the wall. He's like waxing
it. Maybe Marvel was trying to, maybe there's something with like the Silver Surfer. Maybe they tried to turn the Silver Surfer into a vampire, but because he was the Silver Surfer, he was just more zombie than
Yeah, that's like a little Easter egg they were talking about, yeah. The Silver Surfer. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how can we get a reference to Silver Surfer? Like, what if we have this long, confusing conversation that happens off screen?
Like, they cut it, but then, like, sprinkle a little bit of that in there. Just, like, oh, overlay it. Oh,
because he's
like,
silver.
Oh.
So he would, like.
Dude. Is it time for the How I Met Your Monster conspiracy theory of the week?
Hit it.
You're telling me that NASA is going to kill the president of the United States with an earthquake.
Not exactly the kind of thing a Secret Service agent can, like, just throw himself on top of.
The whole Vietnam War was fought over a pin. Howard Hughes lost to Aristotle Onassis.
The third issue this year, conspiracy theory.
The Silver Surfer is another, like Blade.
Maybe Silver Surfer is who Whistler works with to extract the silver to defeat the vampires.
Oh, yeah. Dude, they have Silver Surfer tied up in the factory. I mean, the secret lair. And they are, like, you know, vampires can harvest the people in the blood bags. They're harvesting the Silver Surfer to get silver.
Oh, yes.
To get, to make their weapons.
So it makes you wonder, good and evil. Are you
that's
really good
why when they go into the fucking good. They go into the lair or the factory or whatever the fuck you want to call it, and Bad Moon Rising is playing, and fucking Whistler is like grinding something, right? And then he stops and the music stops, and then he turns the music back on later and goes back to grinding. The Silver Surfer is really there, like screaming for his
He's just like cutting out the sounds of his screams with Creedence Clearwater.
And he's like grinding away silver off of it. Oh my God. Hey, nailed it. God, another successful conspiracy theory.
Yeah, if Silver Surfer's not in the new Blade movie, what are we doing here, folks?
Right?
What are we doing here?
Well,
Casey, did you catch all that? You on board with all
that?
What
are your thoughts?
I think that Jimmy is Willard.
Last episode. Casey's gonna be holding on to her single conspiracy theory of the week.
That's right,
and I don't blame you. It was a good one.
It was good.
Yeah, check it out. And in our last episode, Friday the 13th, the final chapter.
Yeah, if you're missing summer, go celebrate it with our Cruel Summer Triple Feature.
That's right. Okay, now that that's settled and we've got that in the books, it is time for our eighth and arguably biggest reveal.
Yeah,
this is the blood god. Yeah. This is like the whole sacrifice, or not sacrifice, like ritual is the word I'm looking for. It's like the whole ritual scene. And what was pretty cool was when the blood, so they've captured Blade, they've drained his blood, it's all going through like these glyphs and like pipes and tubes, and then it drips on all the other vampires' heads from the council, and like the skull, the winged skeleton things like climb out of their mouths.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Which was pretty fucking cool. Yeah.
So is that what they are after they're bitten by a vampire? Or is this something specific to the ritual? Like, is the ritual summoning this thing out of these pure vampires? Or is that like a manifestation of like blood god minions or something?
Danny, you're going to have to refer to the vampire text. The ancient vampire text for that?
Oh. It just says yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we're good. Okay.
I love they have this big, like, ancient room with all of those texts, and it's all stone and all that stuff, and then they have these little plastic tubes for all the the blood.
Yeah.
we put all of our budget onto the stone work.
Plastic tubing.
The masons in this in LA are really expensive, but the plastic masons are very cheap. This is when straws were more common.
Yeah. Well, that's when the 90s. When Los Angeles said plastic straws.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is why.
So there apparently was a cut of this movie that was like disastrous in test screenings. And one thing that they did not have at the end was the sword fight between Frost and Blade. That was a reshoot.
You mean when they whip their dicks out?
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Start fighting each other with them?
But Frost was not originally supposed to keep his human form, which I guess you can find this on the DVD. So maybe it's out there on YouTube or something, but he was originally just like this, like blob of blood that like floated around. And apparently they couldn't get the effects to look right, so they scrapped it and kept him as himself.
Which is funny because he kind of turns into a big blob of blood when he's dying, when he gets injected with all the spoiler alert.
Dude, those were cool effects. Like when he stabs people with that serum stuff and they like get really big and they explode. That was fun. But the sword fight is cool. You know,
so good. We need more sword fights in movies. It's kind of crazy. We don't have more.
I agree. They were big at one time and then you just don't see them anymore.
Pour one out for pour some blood out for the sword fights.
For the long lost art of movie sword fights. All right. And then to wrap things up, after Blade explodes the blood god. So he sucks the blood out of Karen, right? She's like, bite me. And she's like, don't stop. And she keeps like,
oh, so horny.
I thought she was like, don't stop, don't stop. I thought he was going to go and then she was going to be dead because like he drained her. But then she's just like alive at the end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he like,
she a vampire? Anyways,
I don't know, because she was about to turn into one.
She probably
a vampire. Maybe he sucked out the vampire blood from her.
Oh.
And she could feel it leaving her body. And she's like, don't stop, don't stop.
You almost got it. I'm almost
push.
There.
Push.
I'm having one.
I'm talking about an orgasm. Danny's talking about giving birth. All right. So our ninth and final reveal. Blade has now traveled the world. We've established earlier that he goes from city to city hunting vampires. And so now he's in Russia.
Yeah, Blade is not limited to U.S. jurisdiction. He is traveling the globe. He has gone international.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he meets a Russian vampire and kind of sets up for a sequel, which we get two more. We get Blade 2, directed by Guillermo del Toro, and Blade Trinity. Not sure who directed that.
But I'll give you a spoiler. Dracula's in that movie and they call him Drake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not saying they, quote unquote, defang the lore of Dracula by calling him Drake, but I'm not saying that other people haven't said that.
Okay. I have to check out those sequels because I think I've seen them all once, but I don't remember them. So
the one thing that I really got from the Blade Trinity that I genuinely was like, oh, smart idea. Why did I never think of this? Is that Jessica Biel's character, when she puts in her headphones every time she kills vampires to like listen to music.
Okay.
But she puts them on so that this is back when most headphones had cords.
Mm.
And she puts them on behind so that the cords aren't in her way.
Oh.
So then smart. I started doing that when I would like lay out in the sun so I didn't get a little sun little lines in my skin. So thanks.
Thanks, Jessica Biel.
So great movie.
Yeah. Really worth watching it. But I did just give away the best and most important significant lesson from it.
Yeah. Damn. Sorry. All right. Well, now I've learned my lesson. I don't need to watch it. So. Yeah. All right. Well, you guys, that's fucking Blade. That's Whistler's job. Oh, my God.
Wish it was my job.
That's Blade. That is our first movie in our Killer Comics triple feature. But now it's time to talk about our favorite reveals in Stephen Norrington's Blade.
What's going on here?
I don't see anything anywhere.
That's how they get you. They're under the goddamn ground.
Okay, so we've got 9 official reveals. I am going to do a speed round recap of our official reveals.
Good luck.
And with them, I do have some alternative names for the scenes. So when you pick your favorite reveal, you have to say the name. That's the rule. It's the new rule. Number one is the blood rave, the bloodbath rave, aka it's raining blood. Hallelujah, it's raining blood. Number two, this is where the doctors in the morgue meet Quinn. This is also known as, will you be using the McDonald's mobile app today? No, not today. I'd just like one Vampire McCrispy, please.
I fucking hate you.
Oh my God.
Also known as Crispy Quinn. Also known as Crispy Quinn Medical Vampire. Oh God. Number three is the Council, aka 12 Angry Vamps.
Oh, that's cute.
Number four is Pearl. This is also known as, where you keeping those records, Pearl? In your belly?
Oh my God.
Number five, this is the room with the, this is the, like the library room with all the Bible pages, right? And Whistler comes in and he blows up everything. And also known as no whistling in the library. Number six, Whistler meets Frost, aka Deacon wets his whistle with blood. Number eight, the Blood God, aka Raiders of the Lost Ark. I don't have a funny bit for that, but it's like Raiders of the Lost Ark when they open the Ark of the Covenant and everyone flies out.
That's
so
fun.
Not funny, but accurate.
But hey, it's a reference to Indiana Jones, and we did an episode on Indiana Jones last year.
Yep.
Temple of Doom, check it out. It's really good.
And our final reveal, number nine, Blade meets a Russian vampire, a.k.a. a.k.a.
It's so stupid.
A.k.a. Putin on the prophylaxis.
It doesn't even make sense. No, we just wanted a word that as closely rhymed with Ritz as we could.
We should have just said Ritz.
Teeth?
Putin on the Ritz.
No, Putin on the prophylaxis is so much better.
Very disappointed that none of these had to do with like periods because of all the blood, but whatever.
Well, we can make we can change that, Casey.
No, it's
let's make them all about periods.
Number one is the blood rave, aka this sprinkler system is raining period blood on me.
AKA the rave is menarching.
Period.
Period.
Do you know what a menarche is?
No.
Okay. It's a girl's first period. Is there menarche?
A menarche?
Yes.
Where does that come from? Is that like a street term? No, is that like street slang?
No, no, no. That's the real term.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Menarche. It sounds like not. It
sounds
like
someone. It sounds like you just made that word up. Just
menarche is the term for a girl's menstrual period, marking the start of her menstrual cycle and beginning of her reproductive capabilities.
Menarche.
Google it.
No, I believe you, but it sounds like someone's like picking on somebody.
I don't believe you. No.
Menarche. It's raining blood. Menarche. Hallelujah! It's raining blood. AKA this rave is having its menarche.
Period.
Danny really wants to say period.
I just want to keep adding that in there until it sticks, and it's not sticking.
So what? I almost just moved on without picking our favorite reveals.
My favorite reveal is pretty iconic and probably obvious. It is the blood rave, aka it's raining blood. Hallelujah! It's raining blood, aka this rave is having its menarche.
Nice. Period. Okay. Period. Okay. Yeah, that's a cool fucking scene. Like,
it just gets you going. It just gets you amped up.
Great.
It's the very beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Another like scary moment, like really scary moment.
Oh, yeah, imagine being in there.
Yeah, like you're just surrounded by monsters, and your guard is so down. Like they do such a good job of making
you
feel
fun,
comfortable.
Just taking drugs, just dancing. Yeah.
Tracy
and then
Lords.
Blade shows up and he's cool as shit, you know? So
mm-hmm.
They make him like such a spectacle too when he shows up.
Well, right. And like, because everyone's covered in blood except him. Mm-hmm. And he's like got this cool blue lighting on him. And it's just like, he's, Yeah, dude, that's tough to beat. Danny, what do you got?
OK, Can you do me a favor? There's one I'm doing that is like 7 chapters long. I need an audiobook just to get through.
Oh, can I take your order? Will you be using the mobile app today? No, I would just take a nice chicken McCrispy, please.
Will you be using the McDonald's mobile app today? Not today. I'd just like one vampire McCrispy, please.
Not today. Just he has to say it. Like, apropos of like nothing, it's just like doesn't need to exist for the bit to work, and yet you add like dialogue
between because that's two what people. I say when I go to McDonald's, they say. Will you be using the McDonald's app today? I say not today.
Not today, not ever, actually.
God. Stop asking me, please. I'm never gonna say yes.
Okay, Danny, repeat after me. Will you be using the McDonald's app today? Nope.
Will you be?
Nope. Danny, repeat after me. Will you be using the McDonald's mobile app today?
When do I start?
Okay. Will you be using the McDonald's mobile app today?
Will you be using the McDonald's mobile app today?
Not today. I'd just like one vampire McCrispy, please.
Not today. I just like one vampire McCrispy today. Please.
No, you said today instead of please, and for some reason it was hilarious.
My character felt it was necessary to establish that it was in fact today, mm-hmm. even when the other person stated it was today.
AKA, that's not the only one.
Oh yeah, AKA,
Crispy Quinn, vampire.
Crispy
doctor.
Quinn, the medical vampire.
Crispy Quinn, medical vampire.
The medical vamp. Oh yeah, AKA Crispy Quinn, the medical vampire. Yeah. No, I love the opening, but I want to give Donald Logue his flowers for his performance of this movie because I think it's really good. I think he does a great job. And he's actually really scary here, despite being sort of played as the comedic, not comedic relief of the movie, but there is this, he's like the ding dong.
Yes.
Right.
He's the fucking dumb sidekick.
Yeah.
Well, I always expect the whole movie, I expected Frost to fucking kill him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he was like, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, you're my buddy in this. We're going to take over. And I was like, Frost would be like, haha, yeah. And then all of a sudden he just fucking.
Yeah, I was waiting for that, too.
Yeah, you're out of here.
Which says a lot about Frost, that he needs this type of fledgling around him to be sort of beneath him.
Mm-hmm.
But he also kind of could use him.
Yeah. How does Quinn end up dying? I forget.
It's the glasses scene that you referenced. He has like this big moment. He like runs at Blade and Blade decapitates him
immediately.
And then grabs his glasses. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like not even a big moment. It's just,
no.
That's what makes it so funny is that he's
sets off the
rest of
the climax.
Well, because he's killed him 100 times before.
Right. Yeah. And he's just like, fuck it. I'm done with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen Quinn have that crispy skin look the whole movie. Because I just loved it with his white eyes. Like, there's that scene when he jumps out the window and lands in the ambulance and then really quickly, like, gets up like a feral animal and jumps out the door. Yeah, just, like, really effective. Amazing effects. Mm-hmm. Really fun, fun performance. Yeah. Can't beat it. Need to honor it. And here I am honoring it as my favorite reveal in the movie.
Well, I agree. It's awesome. It does need to be honored. Good job, Quinn. I have to go with the blood rave, a.k.a. It's Raining Blood. Hallelujah, It's Raining Blood, a.k.a. This rave is having its menarche period. Period.
Yes, that's right.
Period.
Just because period. It's just like, it's just fucking, what a great way to open a movie. It's, you know, it's very 90s. It's like we had said, this came out a year before The Matrix. It's got that Matrix feel to it. It's that claustrophobic feel, you know, because you're like locked in this place with all surrounded by these vampires. And then you get fucking cool thing from Blade and the action is really good. And it's just, yeah, that's what I'm going with. And you don't have to fight me on it. That's not like
I was thinking
whoa,
about
whoa,
it.
Whoa.
Just fucking chill. Now it's time for a segment that we like to call The Real Monster.
Run, run, run as fast as you can. Can't catch me. I'm the Gingerbread Man.
You're a monster.
I'm not the monster here. You are. You and the rest of that fairy tale trash poisoning my perfect world. Now tell me, where are the others?
Eat me!
Casey, what do you got?
Honestly, I couldn't. I didn't, you know, when I have them, most of the time these things just like pop out to me because there are obvious things. With this movie, that did not happen.
Right.
So it's just that Tracy Lords wasn't in the movie long enough.
Mm. Sure.
That's yeah. All. Good one. I just have one. It's Blade. He, a little corny. Calls vampires suckheads.
Yeah.
But he phrases yeah. He does it. He kind of delivers the line kind of like, this is going to stick. I feel like this is going to be like, I'm going to say this and people are going to start calling them yeah, suckheads.
It's like fetch.
Yeah.
Quit trying to make suckheads happen.
Yeah. That's it, though. Honestly, you could like, I could target like that specific like 90s fashion and all that, but I feel like it all kind of oddly works for this movie. Like this movie came out at just the right time where the rave scene really was just kind of like yeah. happening. So yeah. I feel like this movie represented that period really well. So I really have nothing bad to say about it. Like we could joke about like Stephen Dorff's hair in this movie, but it just kind of works. I don't know. Everything mm-hmm. just
it does
very
work.
Nicely. There's really not a lot that you can pick apart from this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I had, it was like 3/4 of the way done with the movie. And I was like, shit, like there's nothing in here that I'm like, this is a real monster. Mm-hmm. But don't you worry. I found some things.
Oh, shit.
Stephen Dorff's tongue. Why is it so big?
Oh, it is big. But what's wrong with that, Zach?
Notice it. Yeah, I love a big tongue.
I didn't say there was anything wrong with it. I said it's a fucking monster.
But if it's your real oh,
yeah, yeah, okay. The real okay. monster of the okay. movie.
Okay. I did notice that. But yeah, I wasn't yeah. like immediately like, oh.
He like sticks his tongue out oh? twice and I was like, holy shit. It's a fucking
I actually said it out tongue. Loud. Yeah.
You were like, oh, okay. I also have the weird sexual thing going on with Blade's mom and Blade.
And Blade, yeah.
That was strange.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, like, they were, like, at the same age because she had turned into a vampire. So it was kind of like this thing, but it was like his fucking mom. I guess it does work. And she was,
like, a great way to show how she really isn't her and how you do become this other thing when you become a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like to show yeah. that without just explaining it, because it is so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, oh, but if it's really not her, I get it.
True.
Because okay. you're waiting for that. Because I feel like there's a lot of those like movies where like, oh, like I know
you have their moment.
You know, like the human moment is still there. Mm-hmm. If I could mm-hmm. only reach you. And it's like, yeah, she's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Still, though, totally fits in the real monster category because it is
right.
so nasty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's icky. And but the way you know, when you explain it like that, it's kind of like, OK, that makes sense. But still. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then my number one real fucking monster is that little Asian girl that Frost kind of like kidnaps. Right.
What did she ever do to you?
She fucks up the fucking hot dog cart.
When she gets thrown,
he throws her into the street before she hits the street.
How are we supposed to have hot dog talk with the boys if the damn hot dog cart ain't standing no more?
She flies through and demolishes a fucking hot dog cart.
I want to fucking demolish a hot dog cart. You know what I mean?
So for that, she's my real monster.
Okay.
That's a good pick. That's the truest of your real monsters
yeah,
on this
yeah.
list, which is a testament to this movie.
Yeah, totally. All right. Well, now for our last segment of the show, would you survive Deacon Frost and his legion of suckheads?
And here we go.
Yeah, because we've talked about this before. I would want to be turned. So
that's true. You'd be like, yeah, you'd want to be turned and you wanted to get a glyph tattoo. You're like a familiar who wants the tattoo and you want to be turned. And
yeah, I'm fine.
I thought there was something familiar about you.
But like as we find out, the one familiar who Frost's familiar fucking kills him, throws him in a pool.
That's because he's an idiot.
Yeah, that's true. You're smart.
I'm very smart. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Also, you would be a really good familiar because I feel like you would be good at helping the vampires like disguise themselves because you work with teeth. So there would be like something or you would have like a cool subplot where you make your own vampire teeth and go like you'd be like the guy from Trick or Treat who puts in teeth and pretends he's a vampire, but actually uses them as a vampire would and kills people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would earn your, you know, be like, look at all my victims. I brought you so much blood and I did it with fucking teeth.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, bro, turn this fucking girl to a vampire. We need her up in here.
Thank you, Danny.
I'd keep my day job. The only thing going against you, that's the thing, is your day job, you'd have to figure out how to get there during the day.
Yeah.
Oh, no. My boss is cool. If I needed to work at night, he would let me. Seriously. Oh,
perfect. Oh, okay. Nice. No holes.
If I told him, like, all of a sudden I was allergic to the sun and I couldn't come in until it was dark, he'd let me. We've all got our own. He'd be like,
great, I don't want to hear it. Just come in.
Yeah. I'd keep my job as a dental tech. And he would love it because I'd be able to work for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He'd keep the business going, like, even after he's gone.
Smart.
Yeah. I think I would be dead. I don't do well with vampires.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
I just don't know where you'd be put in the position.
Yeah, because I wouldn't go to the rave.
You're not going to a blood rave.
Right. But, you know, Blade says they're everywhere. And so.
That's true.
You know, I don't know.
I said no, too. I said these vampires hunt packs. And they would distract mm-hmm. me with their loud house music. I wouldn't know what to do.
All right, you guys. That's it. That's fucking Blade in a nutshell. That's Blade in a blood bag right there.
Blade in a blood bag.
Yeah, that is our first movie in our Killer Comics triple feature. Danny, go ahead and tell us what our next movie is.
I am very excited about our next movie. We will be continuing our Killer Comics triple feature with the 1990 film Ernest Dickerson movie, Tales from the Crypt, Demon Night, with special guest Michael Verratti.
Very cool. Very cool. And Ernest Dickerson, we had mentioned, was the original bringer of Blade to New Line Cinema. So that was fucking cool. And Michael Verratti, that's going to be an awesome guest. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, really excited. Yeah, of Fangoria fame and the Midnight Mass podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
It's going to be cool and fucking an awesome movie to have them on. Fucking Demon Night, dude.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of awesome movies, Michael Verratti just released his own movie, There's a Zombie Outside, which you can watch. You can watch on Tubi right now.
Yeah, definitely check that out. And make sure to check out Demon Night so you're prepared for that episode as well. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are not following How I Met Your Monster on social media, find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. We're all over the place. Follow How I Met Your Monster. Where can our listeners find you two on social media?
I am on Instagram at WolfMotherCasey.
Awesome. Danny.
You can find me on Instagram and Blue Sky just at my name. That's Danny Salem, DannySalemme. That's two M's like the candy. Melt in your butt, not in your hands. Period.
Period. And I cannot wait for you to say that sign off again when we have Michael Verratti on the show. So
I won't do it. I never do it when we have a guest. Just kidding. I always do and I'm embarrassed.
And you can find me on social media at Zach Quinsick. Thank you for joining us for Blade. Now go meet some monsters.